Well, welcome everyone, and thank you for studying with us today as we look at the fourth session in our series, The Blessing. We've been looking last week at the blessing and the bloodline, and we're going to continue that study today as we get into talking about Abraham, after his name changed. But when we started last week, we looked again at the verse we've been anchored with, where the Lord in Genesis 1 spoke, and he said this, or the word says this, "Then God blessed them, and God said to them, Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it," not just the garden, but expand this throughout the earth. Now, what did he do in delivering this? We've begun to see how he empowered all mankind for all time to do it, but he had to have a plan that we saw unfold last week when Adam sinned, because when Adam sinned, the Father did not go declare a curse to take the place of the blessing. The blessing stayed in place, but a curse became operative in the earth. And so you would ask, how did that happen? Well, it happened because of Adam's sin. With that, the curse, along with sin, entered the world. Now, the curse is the exact opposite of the blessing. The nature of the devil is stealing, killing, and destroying. And so what did we see with that then? Well, we saw that the devil really wanted that blessing that God had placed on man, which was his spirit in him, but he didn't get it. Instead, what he got was his very nature when he became God of this earth, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4. When he became God of this earth, his very nature was released throughout the earth, and the earth was cursed. Man had to dwell in that. Man was having to live under the curse, and he lived in toil. And we saw that the word for curse actually means bitterness. So now man's living under the curse, the very nature of the devil, in bitterness, the bitterness of the curse. Now, we concluded last week by looking at Noah and the blessing being declared over him and his sons, and we saw how his son Shem continued the righteous line, but it wasn't a perfect line. I mean, he ended up with his descendants being moon worshipers, and that's how Abram is found, is noted. So I want you to see, Abram didn't have experience with God. He's going into this trusting a God who spoke to him, who he did not see, believing what God said enough to be able to act on it. And that was so important. So let's get started today with, we're blessed through and with Abraham. In Genesis 12, the first verse, reads this way, "Now the Lord said to Abram," so speaking again, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house." And he didn't, he left his country, but he didn't do it exactly as he was told to do. Again, he's not perfect, but that didn't stop God. "And go to a land I will show you." What great faith that must have taken to just pull up roots and head that way. And he said to him then in verse 2, "And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing." Each of those four statements is very important. Verse 3 says, "And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse." And then a most important statement, "And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Now, what a statement that is. Really, what you're going to see today is that's when the Lord began to proclaim the gospel, the good news of what was about to come with our Lord Jesus. But verse 4 is important. "So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him." Now, Abram understood these words as covenant words. Covenant was a prominent way of dealing with one another. And it was most common was a blood covenant. We'll look at that maybe later on, but not today. And so he believed these covenant words, believing a God that he'd not yet known at all. So what we're about to see now is the work of covenant and the work of the blessing together. And this is really the first time I've seen this revelation and taught it in this manner. So again, I want to ask questions as we've done the past 2 weeks. How do you see these words to Abram? Are they words that God always come up with another idea and he starts this whole new thing with Abram? Or do you see it in context with the blessing? And that's a really important issue, because what we're going to see is it's in context with the blessing. Now let's look at some of the things he said to Abram. Verse 2, I will make you a great nation. Now great here means, and it implies, great in any manner or any sense or anything. And so the thing I would ask is this sound like a form of increase, which is really what he was telling and what the blessing did when the Lord spoke to Adam. Increase in every way. And so you take that then and pair it with the end of verse 3 here, which says, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now this to me sounds like fruitfulness, multiplication, all these taken together. But it's doing that for God's purpose. And his purpose is revealed in this statement, although many may not see it that way. In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. We're going to see that Scripture in New Testament tells us this was when the gospel was proclaimed to Abram. So think about God's blessing to Adam. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. And when you compare that to what he said that we've seen so far with Abram, you can begin to see how one flows from the other. He is positioning Abram with the same blessing that was declared over Adam. Now that should not surprise you at all. Why? Because Scripture tells us God changes not, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then his will toward his man won't change. Now, as we've previously mentioned, the way he had to relate to his man has changed because of sin. He's now separated from him, where before, in his perfect will, he wasn't. So let's continue on verse 2 and look at the phrase, I will bless you. The blessing here, in blessing here, Father is empowering Abram to prosper in abundance, just like we saw with Adam. You remember the word fecundity, to prosper in what you do with abundance. Sounds like the life Jesus gives us in John 10:10, doesn't it? And so we saw it said then, and I'll say again, this is implying every area of Abram's life. And he did it how? Same way, by speaking the word. Now he follows that with this statement, for I will make your name great. Now, what is being declared with these words? Well, it implies to make large, with honor, increase, and promotion. So what he was declaring to him is that you need to understand, just like you would look back at some of the people you might have had respect for and see that I'm going to build something very different for you, such that all men will see you in a different way. You're going to be the patriarch of a great earthwide movement or a family. Now, didn't it turn out that way? A multitude of different sects or nations of people, to include the Jews, which came through the righteous line, but it also included some new Gentiles, people, groups, which are still giving us problems today. And I'll go ahead and add, and it included Christians. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I just want you to see this. He's not just talking about races and nations. That's physical component. But when you think about us as believers being brought into this, he's saying, I'm creating a spiritual component of your posterity as well. And so that is all because Abram believed and stepped out, and he did what the Lord told him to. Now, it's important that we realize he said, and so shall you be a blessing. So that means Abram is going to be in position to bless, to take care of others, as His name is being made great in this earth. Now, did this happen? And the answer is yes. Let's look at a couple of scriptures that show us this. In Deuteronomy 28, the B part of the first verse and the first part of the second verse, New King James, makes this statement, "The Lord your God," and he's talking to the children of Israel, part of that posterity, "The Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on the earth, and these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you." So he's telling them that, and he's telling us that he made this come to pass on the Jewish people. It goes on even and says in verse 10, if I remember correctly, all the peoples of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord. So it's something that others would take notice of. And again, that deals with his purpose because he wanted to draw all men to him. Talking about Jesus, but the Lord wanted others to see his majesty, his glory in his people so that they too could turn to him. In Genesis 24, after Abram's name has been changed, he's had Isaac, Abraham sends his servant, who is unnamed, kind of like the relationship between the Holy Spirit and Jesus, and he sends him to find a wife for Isaac. And listen to what the servant says. "I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord has greatly blessed my master, so that he's become rich, and he has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and servants and maids and camels and donkeys." Now, what is he saying here? That yes, the Lord's given him a lot of physical things, but he's also doing it and giving him other people with whom Abraham is able to bless, to take care of, to meet their needs as they work with and are serving him. Psalm 67, verses 6 and 7 kind of sums it up, I think. It says, "The earth has yielded its produce. God, our God," and don't see that produce just as things now or fruits and vegetables. Obviously, that's a key part of it. But its produce is the lineage leading up to Jesus, Abraham's posterity, his seed. And it says, "God, our God, blesses us." See, they knew that blessing was extending down. 7, "God blesses us." And again, it's all because of the purpose that God had for them. And that's why it says that all the ends of the earth may fear him, may come to revere him, to hold him in high esteem. So that is the result of and the purpose of the blessing that God is speaking is so that he can draw men to him. Now, another part of this that we may not think about is something like fighting the battles. And we have a great example of that with a big victory that Abraham won. And justice is a big thing with the Lord. He doesn't like it when injustice is done, especially to his people. And so here's an example of that. In Genesis 14, starting in verse 9, the last four words of it says, 4 kings against 5. So 5 kings in the area of Sodom and Gomorrah, and plus Sodom and Gomorrah plus 3, the area that Abraham was dwelling near. And those 5 kings were attacked by 4, and the 4 whipped them. And it says in verse 10, "Now in the valley of Siddim was full of tar pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled, and they fell into them," talking mostly about their people. "But those who survived fled to the hill country." Then talking about the 4 kings who conquered them, "Then they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their food supply and departed." Verse 12, "And they also took Lot, Abram's nephew, and his possessions, and departed, for he was living in Sodom." Now, let's do a quick rabbit trail here. Abram was told not to bring everybody, but Lot, his nephew, came with him. And because Lot came with him and was working with him and serving him, the blessing went to Lot. And it came about that Abram and Lot's shepherds had so many animals that they couldn't keep them together. And they began to quarrel. So Abram said to Lot, And I would submit to you that he said it because he knew the blessing. You choose which land you want. And Lot lusted after, same problem that Adam got into, lusting after the tree. He went for the best looking land, which ended him up in the area of Sodom. And so he's caught up with that. Now, again, Abram continued to prosper and increase. And so he was a blessing to Lot. If Lot had stayed with him, if he'd been smart, he'd have stayed with him and just increased more and more. Now, in that same chapter, in verse 14, when Abram hears that his relative had been taken captive, he led out his trained men, some servants, born in his house, 318. Now, I don't imagine they were trained to the hilt and had the fancy weapons that others would have had. And they went in pursuit of this army of four. And he, Abram, divided those forces against them at night, something that was not commonly done. But what had provided him this wisdom? The blessing of the Lord. He and his servants, and they defeated them and pursued them as far as some town which is north of Damascus. And verse 16 says, and he brought back all the goods, and he also brought back his relative Lot with Lot's possessions, and also the women and the people. So 318 men, servants who weren't full-time army people, they went out and whipped the four kings that had whipped the five and brought back everything. Now, fast forward on down from that. The king of Sodom, when he gets back, he comes to Abram and says this in verse 21. Give the people to me and take the goods for yourself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have sworn to the Lord God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take a thread nor a sandal thong or anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich. Why would he say this? Because he knew the blessing was at work in his life. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and it adds no sorrow to it. A verse we'll look at later on in Proverbs. He knows that the blessing is active on his life because of things that are happening to him. And he wasn't going to step away from that. Now, it's important to note, he had a large entourage, as we saw before, as this unnamed servant told the potential bride. And why is that? Because he was expanding. He was going to be great in numbers. He was going to grow it so that he could be an increased blessing. Bottom line, how was he going to be a blessing? Bringing the lineage of God through the Jewish people, through his posterity, all the way to Jesus. Can I tell you that healing was also part of the blessing? Healing was a part of the blessing. Now, remember that he had no children. In the chapter 15, he is told by God, after these things, the word of the Lord came to him and said in a vision, don't fear, I'm a shield to you, your reward shall be very great. And he responded by saying, well, what if I have a reward? What good is it? I don't have anybody to share it with, except Eliezer, my servant, but for the blessing. And then the word of the Lord comes to him again and said, this man will not be an heir, not be your heir, but one who shall come forth from your own body, and I would add with Sarah, he shall be your heir. And so he took him outside and he said, now look to the heavens and count the stars. If you're able to count them, and he added to him, so shall your descendants be. So he's painting a picture for him that his posterity is going to be lots and lots of peoples and nations and people groups. But the verse 6 is a key one here. Then he believed the Lord, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now, why is righteousness so important? Because it establishes this close relationship with him. What happened later in this chapter? The cutting of the covenant. He did a covenant of blood with Abram, changed his name to Abraham as a part of the covenant ritual, and is pouring out more and more blessings on him so that he can be a blessing. Now, he goes on then, and you know the story. We're not going to go through it for time's sake, but He has a son with Hagar that causes trouble. She was a servant, came back from a land when he told them don't bring them back, but they did. Still having trouble with many of those nations and Christian nations and the Jewish nation today. But the Lord healed them, and Sarah bore him a son at a ripe old age. And before I go into what I'm about to say, let me just remind you that Abram, knowing the fact that healing had occurred in his family when he had gone to the King Abimelech's area, and really a curse was put on them because Abram lied about Sarah for the second time, and the womb was shut up in that area. No one was conceiving children. And verse 17 of chapter 20, which is the first definitive recording of healing, it says, Adam prayed for Abimelech and his people. And the Lord, and he says, goes on and said, and he healed his wife, him, his wife, his servants. And what was he doing? He was being a blessing by ministering healing to others. Now, you know my heart on healing, and so see what is available to us through the blessing. But in Genesis 22, the 15th through the 18th verse, he's taken Isaac up to sacrifice him, as the Lord told him. And this is the second time the angel calls to him there and says, verse 16, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, that because you've done this thing and not withheld your son, your only son, indeed, I will greatly bless you. So he's restating, because that blessing is formed from which all these good things are flowing to him. And then he says, I'm going to greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gates of the enemies. Now, let's talk about that last line there. Possess the gates of the enemies. What was one of the things Adam gave up? Authority. Now, yes, the devil was over this earth. He's the God of this earth. He's the God of this earth today. What do we have as believers in our Lord Jesus? Part of that seed, part of his posterity we mentioned earlier. We have authority. That's something that had been removed from Adam, and now we're seeing it manifested to us so we can rule and reign as kings and priests on this earth. And again, this is said, and in your seed, and I would put a capital S on this, as you're going to see in the coming weeks, Paul does, and in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Now that's, he's restating there what he said earlier in 12:3, and in you, all the families shall be blessed. So what is he doing here? He's proclaiming the gospel to him once again. Now, the part I want you to see here is that in this passage, we have his seed referred to as being as numerous as the stars in the heaven and as the sand on the seashore. And then it says, your seed shall possess the gates of the enemies. But let's focus in on this stars and sand. I believe, and I've shared this with some people who I have been submitted to, and I think they agree with what the Lord has shown me through time, that when it talks about the seas, I mean the sand of the seashore and being that numerous, I believe that's talking about physical people on the earth, because he's told him his family would cover all the nations, all the world. And so, you know, what a blessing that would be. But then what does he mean when he talks about the stars? And the stars is how he started out with Abram back in Genesis 15. So what is he talking about there? I believe he's talking about you and me. Not our physical being, but the spirit being who we become as we were born again, this new creation in Christ Jesus. So here we just see him preaching the gospel of what his seed, and I would put a capital S on this, Jesus, would eventually do for mankind to restore the fullness of the blessing upon the man and the woman, God's prized creation. So here he is being able to see those stars and see the fruit that is coming in abundance from the blessing. And that's me. That is you. So Abraham received greatly of God's blessing during his life. He believed in God's covenant as he walked in that blessing, back in relationship with God, and having the gospel declared to him. And he was able to even to beat kings who came up against him, as we saw just previously. Now, I want to close today by reminding you that in our first week, I read you Genesis 3, 8, and 9 out of the New American Standard. And let me read it quickly. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations shall be blessed in you. So then you who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. Now we read that and we say, sounds good, but do we fully understand that this is talking about, here is a linkage provided to us. There's some more of his generations that have to come, and the blessing flows to them, so that it flows all the way down to his seed, capital S, Jesus, and therefore we can be blessed like he is. Now, let's read a few extra verses in this as our last scripture today to just paint this picture so it's more clear to us, so that we can seek the Lord for revelation, for the fullness of it, and begin to see our own selves being able to walk in it. There's been this situation where the Galatians were entering back into works. And Paul writing says, I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles amongst you because you obey the law? And the answer to that is, of course not. It's because you believe the message you heard about Christ. And again, I'm reading New Living Translation. Verse 6, in the same way, Abraham believed God. So just as Paul is telling them, you need to just believe and not try to earn it by works. He's saying, in the same way, that's what Abraham did. And God counted to him as righteousness because of his faith. That's our new covenant. The real children of Abraham then are those who put their faith in God. The real children, the spiritual beings that we have become. What's more, the scripture looked forward to this time when God would make the Gentiles, which you and I were, right in his sight because of their faith, because we did what? Believe. God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, all the nations will be blessed through you. And then here's verse 9 again. So all, you, me, everyone who's looking at this, everyone who has received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, all who have put their faith in Christ share, have access to the same blessing that Abraham received because of his faith, because of his believing. See the possibilities. You've seen what happened with Abraham. We'll look more at others who come after him, at Joseph, at Isaac, at David. We'll lead up to Jesus. And just remember, you've been placed in union with Christ Jesus, the blessed one. We love you. I don't want to say I hope you enjoy it. I hope you do. But I want it to make faith for you so that you see and get a glimpse of your true identity in God's eyes. We love you and thank you for joining with us today.